Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From WNYC in New York, this is Soundcheck.
I'm Paul Myers, and this is my brother, Mike Myers.
Hi, I'm Mike Myers, and this is my brother, Paul Myers.
Today, we're filling in for John Schaefer, who's on vacation.
Yes.
And we're going to be hosting Soundcheck today. We got our own little music for that.
WNYC Soundcheck with Paul and Mike Myers.
Isn't that amazing?
Oh, when does the fun start?
That took 25 man hours to put together.
25?
And a cast of about...
Is that a man day plus 1 hour?
That's one man day. Canadian units, though.
Oh, so that's like 20 minutes.
It's about 20 minutes. But you know, what's really great about the way we, our two countries, get together. Well, let's go back and explain.
Yeah, let's talk about the theme of today's show, which is brotherhood.
Brotherhood.
And how having a fantastic brother is definitely a leg up in show business.
It's worked for you.
It has worked for me.
I think so.
Has it worked for you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, of course.
Okay.
Of course. Oh, implicitly. Yeah.
Okay.
It's a two-way street. We have so much in common, Mike.
Yes. We came from the same uterus.
What was the phrase you used?
Brother from the same mother.
Brother from the same mother. And we have a third
We're
brother.
We're both Canadian.
We have a third brother named Peter, by
Peter,
the way.
By the way, just shout out to Peter.
That's Peter back in Toronto.
Yeah.
And our parents came from Liverpool, England.
Mm-hmm.
And home of the Beatles.
I actually did talk like that. You know?
They actually did. My dad would be on the phone. He'd be like, "Hey, you're coming home for lunch, Paul. You're coming home for lunch." And I'd say, it's John Lennon calling me.
And he would be talking to Paul McCartney.
Yeah.
Which is so great.
It was that made it confusing.
Not now, Paul. Not a good time.
Not a good time. Is a mix in the album. You know? So then they moved to Canada,
yes,
where we were born.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, we both became artists in our own right, doing our own thing in our own right.
Right.
And then we both now are U.S. citizens. So it's actually incredible when you start to put Paul Myers and Mike Myers beside each other.
Mm-hmm.
And we're both extremely well off, successful in our careers. Oh, wait a minute. This is where the comparison falls to the ground. But you ain't heavy.
So naked.
You ain't heavy, Mike.
I'm not heavy.
You're not.
I'm working on it. I am working on it.
You're my brother.
All right.
He ain't heavy, he's my brother.
Okay, now we're taking it over the edge,
yes,
right?
Then this is like the opening of Sesame Street, right? He ain't heavy, it's my brother's brought to you by the letter A, right?
There used to be a commercial for Shake and Bake Chicken that sounded like that's a lonesome harmonica. So I'm talking over the song, I'm sorry, but...
Do your harmonica, dude. It's good.
On my harmonica. Hold on. Let me. Mike likes that. That's my party piece. Part of being brothers is
pimping.
Pimping each other to do bits. Bring down the music a little bit. Bring down the music. So, but we're brothers and we grew up loving a bunch of, like, I'm a musician. I'm an author. And lately I've become kind of a photographer as well. And that's been kind of an interesting development. And you, of course.
Great photographer, by the way.
Oh, thank you very much.
Yes. Your forte, Paul, if I may say so, is without any being pejorative, is amateur status available to all, but with professional standards, which I love.
There's a compliment in there. Somewhere.
No. There is. Yeah. You're listening to Damning with Faint Praise.
Hey, so before we go any further, I want to talk about you because obviously I'm in awe of the fact that you're an accomplished actor, but you write your own films.
Mm-hmm.
You've written everything you've ever done, and you've had a hand in production, and now you're a director. You've directed a documentary, Supermensch, which I love.
Thank you very much.
And
thank you. It's about Shep Gordon, Alice Cooper's manager.
It's a work of art.
For you. I love Shep. Shep is the greatest guy in the world, and I've been hounding him for 20 years to do this film, and then 3 years ago, he agreed, and it's what I've been doing for the last little while, that and having kids. But, Paul, you are a fantastic musician, seriously, and you have a new album that's out?
Yeah, but first I want to say that my latest recording is...
WNYC Soundcheck with Paul and Mike Myers.
John Schaefer, where is John Schaefer, Mike?
John Schaefer is... he is in Kuala Lumpur.
That's right.
And then he was also in...
he was the station...
He's in the Transvaal for a while.
He's in the Transvaal. Well, he was the bureau chief for the CIA, wasn't he?
He is in the CIA. And so we're really not...
Have we blown his cover
We have blown his cover.
Oh, wow. Well, you know, he should have just given us the money.
Yes.
Because like, we told him. We
just
told
give
him.
Us the money.
I was going to write an op-ed about him for the New York Times exposing him.
But it is the perfect cover.
It is the perfect cover.
You know, travels the world.
That's right.
Talks to people.
Yeah, I noticed he always put Soundcheck, when he would say he's hosting Soundcheck, he would do it in air quotes with his fingers, you know, finger quotes.
Like, yeah.
I'm hosting Soundcheck, you know, and everyone would just let him in the secret lane.
Yeah. It really should be called Security Check.
I don't understand it myself. But so you had mentioned, and
yes.
I inelegantly stepped on it, that I do have a new actual album out. Because what I've been doing is I'm in San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
Where I live,
yeah,
and there's a gentleman named John Mormon there, who's a singer-songwriter himself, and he's a guitar player in a group called the Orange Peels. I write a lot of lyrics, and I also write a lot of songs, so we decided that we would write music together, and we call it The Paul and John, which is funny because we're both huge Beatle fans, but we're also big fans of the papacy.
Right,
and
course,
so,
yeah.
So The Paul and John is the name of the project because it's me, the Paul,
right.
and him, the John. And actually, we have
what's
some
it called, Paul?
Oh, the record's called Inner Sunset. It's an album that's out right now by the Paul and John.
Inner Sunset?
Well, listen to a couple of seconds of it here. And no one knows how it goes. It's happening now and on the way. Everything comes together as he sees the day.
That was Inner Sunset.
It's the album Inner Sunset. That song's called Everything Comes Together.
By the John and Paul.
The Paul and John.
The Paul and John. Jeez.
Well, no, it's okay because John actually wants me to call it the John and Paul. We have a standing thing. I always say it's the Paul and John. He says it's the John and Paul. But it is the Paul and John.
I'd like to point out.
I just like to point out.
I mean, it's not really a big deal to me, but
it's not a big
Paul
deal.
And John. Inner Sunset is the album.
By the way, that was the first time that's been played on WNYC, as far as I know.
Fantastic. It's
and
a great song.
I'm glad that WNYC got that that exclusive.
You see You see the English in what you do.
That song has a little bit of Ferry Across the Mersey in it, in a sense. That
it's, but it's also got a Nick Lowe feel to it.
Thank you.
The jangly guitar is
thank
very,
you.
Very beautiful.
Thank
the,
you. I'm a big, John and I are both big fans of Nick Lowe, XTC, of course, the Beatles.
Do you think there's a sort of, is it Steve Lillywhite?
The producer, Steve Lillywhite, who produced XTC records and some U2 records.
Yes.
I hear that, too. A little
but I
bit
hear
of,
it in the snare, dare I say.
The big snare.
Yeah.
Him and, this is me getting all nerdy now, but
yeah.
Steve Lillywhite and his engineer, Hugh Padgham, who worked on those records, who later
wow.
became a producer himself, he created that big drum sound that you know from the 80s.
That's what I'm...
And, of course, later, Phil Collins co-opted it for the big In the Air Tonight sound.
But he put a noise gate on?
Noise gate. There you go,
there
Mike.
You go.
Yeah,
there you go. There. I'm learning. See, that's what it is to be a brother.
The noise
dude.
Gate is that.
Do you know how many books that I claim I've read, but you've just explained them to me?
I am the books on tape
that I
for
claim
Mike
I've
Myers.
Seen, but you've just told me about?
Mike used to call me the audio commentary. We'd be listening to Let It Be or Abbey Road, and I'm in the back seat while he's driving through like Mulholland Drive. I remember specifically. We're driving around the canyon or something, and all of a sudden somebody comes on and said, Mike, you got to listen here. This is where, listen to the Leslie cabinet on the guitar here.
Oh, the Leslie,
like the organ cabinet. Yeah,
yeah.
Like, yeah, there's, and watch what George does here. Comes in sliding here like that, like, and Mike said, okay, enough with the audio commentary.
Yeah, because I just learned to drive. I learned to drive at 30 and for Wayne's World, and I couldn't drive the car in Wayne's World, the AMC Pacer.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
For insurance reasons. I'd never driven, and I was like, dude, this is all of my focus right now.
Hey, speaking of Wayne's World, which is a film that my brother made, which in the spirit of us both mentioning each other's things, Wayne's World was such an exciting moment for me because there's so many elements in that of my childhood, obviously because we had the same childhood.
Yeah, in Toronto.
We're brothers.
Yeah. It's the suburban Toronto experience.
I just want to say something. If you're just joining us, by the way, I'm Paul Myers and this is Mike Myers. And
Mike Myers.
We're filling in for John Schaefer on WNYC Soundcheck.
WNYC Soundcheck. And Mike Myers.
And that's our attractive 1950s style sting cart thing.
Sweep.
Sweep. It's
yeah.
a sweep, isn't it?
When I hear sweep, I think of curling, by the way, which I rather like. So as a Canadian.
So I was mentioning Wayne's World because like there's a scene in Wayne's World where he's talking about the guitar and it's a no playing Stairway to Heaven. Like, mm-hmm. Stuff like that really happened to me.
Yes.
I had long black hair.
It happened
like Wayne
to
Campbell.
You when I put it in a movie. And
but it was that. See, that's what I like about a lot of your work is that it sort of incorporated like maybe me and my other brother, Peter, we're the only people who know almost every reference to where you got something.
Well, I'll say to people like something like Austin Powers that you would have had to have grown up in our house. Like I was shocked that people were like, oh, you know, I went to see it. I'm like, wow, we must have lived in a big house.
It's a big house with lots of Python, Beatles, and things. A lot of stuff we're going to touch
Sellers,
on.
Peter Sellers, Python. This is the great influence of our parents is be an actor, be a, you know, for all of the pain that we went through, which every family does, being an artist is a big thing, you know? And so I've always loved just making things, which I think we both do.
It's true. It's
you're true. A fantastic photographer.
Well, thank you. And you're
great singer.
And by the way, Mike makes great music on your GarageBand.
Thank you.
And you've written songs for Austin Powers and songs for other things. And you did some of the music for Superman.
I did a couple of the songs, but they're all GarageBands. But that's no money for the budget. But
something I want to play a little bit of here is a song that another artist who talks about art and is combining a lot of arts. I think I recently saw David Bowie.
Oh.
David
Worship.
Bowie was doing the V&A show. I saw the V&A show. And so in an art gallery setting, you could really sense that this guy is the ultimate multidiscipline artist. And, of course, he wrote that song about Andy Warhol.
Put the people in my brain, two new pens to have a go. I'd like to be a gallery, put you all inside my show. Andy Warhol looks a scream. Hang him on my wall, Andy Warhol, silver screen, can't tell them apart at all.
Oh, is that great? Like, you know, who else but David Bowie? I mean,
he's fantastic, dude. Talk about somebody, as you were saying, multidisciplinary, but also reinventing. It's he doesn't come out with the same, it's always a new, yummy thing, but I think that's of a time. I think that demanding that somebody have metamorphoses is something that is last century, unfortunately.
Well, you know, I think there's a lot of people that because of the internet and iTunes and things like that, there's a lot of things that are skipping generations. As you know, vinyl is huge amongst younger people,
right,
as well as other people and people my age who grew up with vinyl and may have lapsed and come back to vinyl. Those things make me think that people are starting to respect the fact that you can now, how do I say this without sounding too pretentious, but the internet is a way to peek at several generations at once. Like the building is ripped open and the walls are all there.
Well, that's what McLuhan talked about with patterns and arrays, right? That at a certain point, so much information, you can't, everything just has to come at you as patterns.
Yeah.
That's what our brain does.
Yeah.
Almost like how we see. We make sense of clouds, which I think it's called pareidolia, where we just sort of have to make sense of the clouds, even though they are random and changing offerings.
The old Charlie Brown cartoon, where they're all looking at the clouds, and he says, I saw a ducky and a horsey, but I was going to, yours are so smart, I'm going to change my mind.
Fantastic.
I summarized the joke. I summarized the visual.
As brothers.
Well, I was going to say, growing up in a household with you and Peter, my other brother, your other brother, too, as it turns out, which is, again, more things we have
more
in common.
More your brother than my brother.
Well,
no, the same. Sorry.
I've claimed him in the name of Spain. But,
yeah.
But the thing about the household was it was kind of now, our parents raised us, don't get me wrong, people listening, but we kind of raised each other
as well. We were feral children raised by televisions.
Well, we were artistic feral children because we would bring stuff in, honest to God. Maybe a lot of people have this. I think I read that Conan O'Brien had a similar upbringing with brothers, but we would bring art in and we'd say, here's Led Zeppelin's album. Let's all listen to it together.
It was a share. Yeah.
Yeah. Here's Python. Let's all listen to comedy together. Let's watch Saturday Night Live together, you know.
And comment constantly, which was for people that came, you know,
right.
People say, come over and watch TV. And I'm like, you're not going to like watching TV with us.
Yeah.
it's a suggestion from the audience.
And something our father did was when Mission Impossible was on and they had a flute intro and a bongo. My father would say, oh, I know the guy who played the bongos on that.
Outrageous claims. He did it all the time.
But the thing about that, for me, it made me realize human beings were making music for these TV shows. And when you listen to Bugs Bunny and you'd hear like a cymbal smash when they fell down, you'd be like, oh, there's an orchestra playing.
Right.
And like it made me realize that all these things are to be deconstructed, if you will.
Yeah, that deconstruction is not only important but pleasurable and necessary and noble. Our house was like C-SPAN Parliament. You know,
if you're just joining us, we're on C-SPAN Parliament. I'm Paul Myers, and this is Mike Myers. And the reason we're here is because John Schaefer is on vacation or something.
Yeah, so he says, so-called vacation.
I think, didn't I see him on, like, wasn't he, like, he's hosting Wheel of Fortune this week, isn't he? He's filling in for...
The Italian Wheel of Fortune.
Well, you think they would have come up with a more Italian-sounding name than that?
I know.
It sounds like a name that Americans came up with pretending to
in
be Italian.
In fake Italian, right? It's so weird. And he also is doing The Odd Couple in Portuguese, which is Otto Cupolo.
Otto Cupolo.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, his...
He's the Kleino one.
His absence is our presence, as it turns out, and that's why we're here doing this.
WNYC, Soundcheck with Paul and Mike Myers.
By the way, I'm the Paul in that, and you are...
I'm the Mike Myers in that, yeah.
The theme for today's show is growing up in a kind of brother environment that was kind of an artistic symposium, and how it's kind of made us who we are today.
Yeah, and just what a fun thing it is to be able to hang out with you and just do stuff. But that's what a Liverpool... I think the Liverpool house does. I think you have to be funny. You have to have a song.
Yeah.
You have to have a painting. You
a
know,
photograph?
You can't come...
A photograph, say?
I was getting there. Thank you.
But all I've got is a photograph, and I realize you're not coming back anymore.
We're the Myers brothers, Paul and Mike, sitting in for John Schaefer on Soundcheck today.
Coming up next, we're going to talk about growing up in Canada with British parents and all sorts of other fun things like that.
This is Soundcheck.
But I can't make it.
This is Soundcheck from WNYC. That's my brother Mike Myers.
And that's my brother Paul Myers.
And we're filling in today for John Schaefer. Let's play the distinctive theme music again.
WNYC Soundcheck with Paul and Mike Myers.
You know, it never gets old.
It doesn't.
Life goes on day after day. Hearts torn in every way. So ferry across the Mersey, 'cause this land's the place I love, and here I'll stay.
You were mentioning earlier that's Jerry and the Pacemakers, and you were mentioning, I believe...
My joke was that they are now so old that they in fact have pacemakers, is my joke.
There is a drum kit here, by the way. We could be doing rim shots for them.
You know, they actually had a name before the pacemakers, which was it was Jerry and the Teflon Stints.
And then certain medical advances.
Yes.
That's right.
Fantastic.
I mean, they were very up on that. They used to go to trade shows.
They were the Anginas for a while.
Yeah. during the punk rock era.
Yeah.
It was Jerry and the Anginas. And, of course, they got so many misunderstandings on the bookings.
Yeah, because they were like, Jerry, are you German?
Weren't
right?
They were kicked out of Max's Kansas City once for that,
yes.
Right? Yeah, it's like, we don't want your, you know, get out of here with your anginas.
You foul-mouthed limeys.
Yeah, foul-mouthed limeys. And never darken my door. I know I use an old phrase from the...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Be gone with you.
Be gone with you,
right?
Good sir.
Yes.
Don't let the door hit you with the good Lord split you.
He was Irish, right?
Who is Irish?
The guy, he looked like the Notre Dame fighting guy.
Oh, yeah, the Notre Dame. Not a good omen when you have a fighting leprechaun on your logo, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, no offense to any Notre Dame fans.
Oh, yes, of course.
Hey, where is John Schaefer, by the way? We're filling in for him.
John Schaefer is taking and I'm using finger quotes here, leave of absence.
Oh, he's practicing the dark arts, isn't he?
Yes, he's in the CIA. Yes.
Well, he was in the Oslo Bureau. He said the funniest thing. Because, you know, they eat, like, herring sandwiches there.
Sure.
Right? Yeah, and he would have a thing where he, you know, they had to, there's a thing where you have to check your gun before you go into, because, you know, in Oslo.
So I hear, yeah.
So, yeah, yeah. Well, you might have heard this, because you're a big CIA fan. You follow, yes. You follow the Dark Arts.
I'm a big CIA fan. That's my team. I support. Yeah.
CIA.
I was an MI5 fan for a while. Yeah. They got relegated.
That's right. Well, they got disappeared is what happens. Mm-hmm. You don't just get relegated. You get put on a black plane mm-hmm. and sent to, like, what was that airline called?
Oh, the Janet Airlines.
Janet Airlines.
Yes. Janet 12, you're cleared for takeoff. These are the secret airplanes at Las Vegas, at McCarran Airport.
So when you go to the WNYC website to complain about our CIA comments.
Yes.
No, I'm just kidding. But can I just say that the reason we played Ferry Across the Mersey, just to bring it back home a little bit, is because we grew up in a household with two Liverpoolian parents.
Right.
Those are people from Liverpool, Scousers, if you
Scousers.
Will.
Scousers.
Eric Myers and Bonnie Myers.
Bonnie, Spike and Eric.
Alice Elizabeth Bonnie Myers, who's still with us. My mom is still with us, and I just talked to her recently.
Fantastic.
She's fine. You'll be happy to hear.
Thank you. That's good to know.
Now, we both call her every...
Where's she living now?
She's living in Toronto, Canada.
I don't know it.
She's living in Toronto, Canada. We're going to give out her address a little bit later if you want to go over. Yeah, knock on the door. Cold
she has
knock.
No security.
No security.
Yes.
It's amazing.
She's virtually defenseless.
I can tell you the times of days that she moves. Anyway, well, growing up in a Liverpoolian household made me have a healthy understanding of sort of the immigrant experience of being now an American citizen born in Canada. I often make analogies or parallels in my life to having had that experience of growing up in another culture, immersing yourself in one culture. And in my parents' case, you know, they came to Canada, and then now they've watched you and me, and Peter still lives in Toronto.
Right.
But you and me have like both gone to separate corners of America, by the way. I live in San Francisco. Mike lives in New York. I'll give you his address a little bit later.
Yeah, thank you. If you could, that'd be awesome.
When you don't have security.
I don't have any security.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm very, very, very vulnerable.
Why don't we tee up Anne Murray's Snowbird?
Yes, please.
The ultimate Canadian song.
What I love forever is untrue. And if I could, you know that I would fly away with you. The breeze along the river seems to say that he'll only break my heart again should I decide to stay. So little snowbird, take me with you when you go to that land of gentle breezes where the peaceful waters flow. Spread your tiny wings and fly away, and take the snow back with you where it came from on that day.
I'm Paul Myers.
And I'm Mike Myers.
And this is Soundcheck from WNYC in New York, and we're filling in for John Shaver today, and we're brothers.
We are brothers. We are from the same house and the same mother.
Oh, but can I just play the sting again? The little cart thing?
WNYC Soundcheck with Paul and Mike Myers.
The guy has a head cold in that. You know, says, but Paul and Mike Myers. Oh, I gotta get something for this.
That sounds like a demon or something.
Paul and Mike Myers.
Gremlin.
Or those like in a world where Paul and Mike Myers take over for John Shaver.
Wow, what a great timbre you
have. In a world. In a world where maybe I shouted a little bit too much in a bar last night.
Wow, dude, that's a very wet timbre you have.
Thank you. I'm available for voiceover work and narration.
For wet timbre work.
I studied with Jeffrey Tambor.
Mm-hmm.
He's really good at that, apparently. Mm. You get in a shower with him. I'll tell you about it later.
Okay, then.
I don't think I'm allowed to tell you on the air, actually.
Because
John Shaver, his sensitive work for the government. So John he's in Cambodia right now.
Well, no, he's in the mafia.
He's in the mafia?
Yeah.
Oh.
He's made.
Oh, so he's... Oh, I thought it was the Dark Arts, but it's the Black Hand.
It's the Black Hand, yeah.
Oh.
The Cosa Nostra.
The Cosa Nostra, right.
Which actually doesn't exist, right?
Of course not.
Right.
Of course not.
Of course not.
So John is in waste management.
I thought I was going to get made, but...
You got whacked.
I got whacked.
Go figure. You know, that's the problem when you work in waste management.
Mm-hmm.
In cement.
So we're hosting Soundcheck today, and we're talking a little bit about... We're celebrating, really, aren't we? Celebrating
yes.
The fact that we grew up in the same household, from the same mother, same parents. And
we grew up in Canada.
And that's why we went to Snowbird on the way out before. The back
I'm sorry. All I ask on this show is that you talk to me like I'm an idiot. Is that cool?
No, I'm telling them that.
I know.
Telling them that. The people who listen to the radio.
Don't call the people who listen to the radio idiots.
Now we sound like click and clack. If you're just joining us, you're listening to Car Talk. No, you're not. You're listening to Bella Bar Talk. I wanted
we're talking about music and films.
Okay, so why I wanted to get into this thing is one of the things that we both have in common and you have actually participated in is the marriage of music and film. And our heroes together, we're big fans of Cameron Crowe.
Mm.
We're big fans of, I believe, Wes Anderson. I'm a big fan
Fantastic.
Of how they bring songs into the film and how the songs
going back even farther to Kenneth Anger.
Oh, you're
from Scorpio Rising,
Lucifer
and
Rising.
Lucifer Rising,
yeah.
Scorpio
the Rising as
well. Yes,
all the Rising,
even the Big Chill,
the Big
had
Chill,
a fantastic.
Well,
soundtrack.
That those are the things that kind of put the soundtrack on the map, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and then later on in the TV era when it,
but that's the drop needle part of soundtrack. The,
yeah, where it.
But
just
then
becomes,
I also love Henry Mancini and Mr. Burt Bacharach.
Yes, and how songs and films can be married. And become iconic. And
right.
Can we tee up Bohemian Rhapsody as it was used in the movie Wayne's World? You can't hear Bohemian Rhapsody now without seeing Wayne and Garth in the car in the Mirthmobile.
I see a little silhouette of a man.
Scaramouche, Scaramouche, will you do the fandango?
Thunderbolt and lightning, very, very frightening me.
Galileo!
Galileo!
Oh, that song's a masterpiece, but we are kind of like recovering so many things that we can't actually, like, we can't even sit here, but we would just sit here and listen to Bohemian Rhapsody and all of its 7 minutes and 11 seconds or something, I think it is.
Well, can we cut ahead to...
Oh, yeah, look, well, would you want to go to the rocking part?
I do.
Oh, man. There's nothing like that.
No, well, no.
Nothing
my,
like
my neck still hurts from that night of shooting.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's I see you guys in the Mirthmobile when I hear the rockin' part, you know. And that's, well, isn't it brilliant? Also, the segments, the fact that it's like a, you know, that long piano intro and then the middle operatic section and then the, just finally, okay, cut the, you know, cut it. Now we're going to go straight to the rock, you know. Like
it's a perfect Dionysiac tension and release, I think you'll find.
I think it is. But I'd like to stay in your films for a second.
Sure.
And I was going to say that, you know, one of the things that I like about the way you used Bohemian Rhapsody, and you did it again in Austin Powers, International Man of Mystery, and the other two equally great sequel and sequel.
Thank you.
How do you refer to the threequel?
I call it a threequel, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Not a NyQuil, though. That's a different
thank you. Thank you. Thank you for that.
Mm-hmm, I just handed a bad review to somebody who would want to write one, though.
Thank you. Yes. No, but I.
It's not a sequel. It's a NyQuil.
It's a NyQuil. Dude, I'll never forget where I was when I thought of that.
It's a DayQuil.
Yes.
In that it's non-drowsy.
Thank you. Oh, my God.
I'm, by the way, WNYC nor myself are receiving any money for that.
Should we introduce ourselves?
Oh, hi. I think we've met, right?
Right. No, to the audience, to the radio audience.
Yeah, okay, yeah, sure.
John, I'm Mike Myers.
And I'm Paul Myers, his brother. And this is WNYC Soundcheck.
WNYC Soundcheck with Paul and Mike Myers.
And we're
contest winners.
Contest winners, that's right. And it was rigged.
It was totally rigged. I mean, I think we slipped a 20 to John,
mm-hmm.
John Schaefer, who's, where's John?
He's, right now, he's a magician. He's learning magical arts.
He's learning the magical arts with David Copperfield, right?
David Copperfield. They've totally got back together again because they had a huge falling out.
Oh, that was a big row, wasn't
mm-hmm.
it?
Yeah,
that was huge.
It was really embarrassing.
And then they built him this whole, the John Schaefer Theater.
The pyramid.
The John Schaefer Pyramid at the Luxor.
The Luxor,
so it's the second pyramid.
Yeah.
It's actually a smaller pyramid because it's public radio funded. But it's the small mini pyramid.
Mm-hmm.
We think it's smarter.
I do.
I think it's more manageable.
You know, it's a scam.
It's a scam. The whole thing's a scam?
A pyramid scam.
Oh, no.
Thank you.
Hey, so
That joke's Sphinx, right?
The joke's Sphinx. Oh!
But you know, it's not uncommon. It's not too uncommon.
Not too uncommon. something, something, Egypt.
Lazy. Oh, you are.
So speaking of things...
It writes itself, right?
Speaking of things that are a throwback to another era, you know, in Austin Powers, you so cleverly brought...
Thank you, Paul.
You cleverly brought in Soul Bossa Nova by Quincy
mm-hmm.
Jones, and later in one of the other films, you had Quincy himself on camera, which is awesome.
Yes.
I mean, think
Quincy.
About that. Everyone knows... You do a great Quincy.
You do a Quincy.
Oh, is it? Well, when we were producing Michael in the studio...
When we're working on a thrill album with Michael.
Working on the studio, I mean, Bubbles would come in, and he'd leave a coin on the chair.
He'd leave a trophy in my listening chair.
And Michael said, you know, smelly jelly. That was smelly jelly.
Smelly jelly.
Yeah.
But you are one crazy Mr. Myers.
Did he say that to you? And then he'd tell you stories about the Mod Squad, right?
When I was married to Peggy Lipton, she was in the Mod Squad.
My hat was off to him before I knew anything about music that he had married Peggy from the Mod Squad.
Oh, dude. You know? Yummy.
Like, seriously.
Yummy.
You know, like, early crush, the Mod Squad. Dude, look it up, guys. Look
it
up,
the
Mod Squad.
I won big points with Quincy Jones because I knew from you, Paul Myers, what a Burundi beat was.
Ooh.
Which is the Bo Diddley. Yeah. It was Bo Diddley, Magic Bus, Bow Wow Wow, Adam Ant.
Yeah. Anyway, so,
yes.
Hey, let's hear a little bit of Soul Bossa Nova just to let everyone.
Can I tell you also where I got Soul Bossa Nova from?
Tell us that right after this.
Okay.
Because it sets the scene. Wow. Like, it's just like, now, much like I was saying about Austin, about the Wayne's World, now when I hear that, I see Austin dancing and the genital blocking stuff. And I see all that. And I just see the joie de vie of Austin Powers. That's what came out in that, the joie de vie. So tell me some of the stories about working with Quincy and also how you brought Soul Bossa Nova, which is what we heard.
Well, this is also growing up in our house. I mean, Soul Bossa Nova was the theme for that quiz show called Definition.
Oh, on CTV in Canada.
Yeah, where it would be like, you won the grand prize. It's a toaster oven.
Yes, because Canadian game shows back then, anyway, didn't have the huge amount of money that American game shows had. So,
do you remember Dad's joke of what the first prize? It would be, was it? First prize is 3 weeks in Buffalo. Second prize is 2 weeks in Buffalo.
You got off easy. Buffalo, New York, of course, was our border town from Toronto. And at some point, Buffalo became the ridicule of Toronto, even though I used to go to Buffalo because there was great wings there. But
great wings, and you could also buy beer.
You could buy beer there.
Yes. As opposed to in Canada having to fill out a form for the LCBO.
Do you know what's just a
liquor control?
I
want to
hear more about Quincy Jones, though.
Yes.
You were going to say, I don't, because it's easy to go off on a tangent. Both of us, by the way, we were born with the tangent gene.
Mm-hmm.
But tell me about Quincy and Soul Bossa Nova.
Well, Quincy, I mean, the song is just so incredibly awesome, there's no lyrics to it. You know what I mean? So it could be something that I could make as part of Austin Powers, but it has all the instrumentation. Like, literally, Jay Roach and I were sitting around going, okay, we want a theme song. And we literally just jammed different instruments. So I said, it has to have some sort of Brazilian thing because England was very influenced by Brazil.
Tropicalia.
Is it?
Oh,
cuica.
Yeah.
And then I said, it needs to have a flute. And then I was like, yeah. And
so
I was
doing them all.
Like, is this Sesame Street? I also needed a drum. It needed an angry neighbor. Hey, get off my lawn! It needed an anti-aircraft battery. Okay.
Did it need a harmonica by any chance?
It did need a harmonica. He's doing that with his mouth, by the way, ladies and gentlemen.
Tell the story.
Soul Bossa Nova emerged, and I love the song. Interesting thing about Soul Bossa Nova is it speeds up and slows down.
Oh.
So one of the most interesting things is when so audio is what digital.
Yeah.
But films are still analog.
Oh.
In my day.
Yeah, back in
yes. My day was a court reporter sketch. It's analog. It's like boxcars, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so it was really quite fascinating to have to slow down and speed up the song.
Oh, so yeah. So it worked out really well with the cutting. So
mm-hmm.
you cut it to that?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's kind of amazing.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of amazing. I couldn't see John. It's amazing what you did there.
It's amazing what you did. You are one crazy mother.
I want to talk a little bit in the next segment. I want to talk somewhere before we leave this building. I want to talk a little bit about Supermensch and working a film about Alice Cooper. But I think let's listen to one of my favorite Alice Cooper songs, and then we'll go to a little bit of a break.
Okay.
We're the Myers Brothers. I'm Mike Myers.
And I'm Paul Myers.
And we're sitting in for John Schaefer on soundcheck today.
Coming up next, we're going to talk about Mike meeting Monty Python and me meeting Paul McCartney.
This is Soundcheck. I'm Mike Myers, and I'm here with my brother Paul, and we're sitting in for John Schaefer on soundcheck today.
Where is John Schaefer?
He is in my apartment, tied up and gagged.
Oh, wow.
And so, he's being fed.
So
pellets, food pellets.
Well, last week you were at the hardware store, and I remember you were buying large amounts of twine.
Yeah. My normal abduction kit.
Oh, yeah.
Needs to be replenished.
Now, I hope you were smart enough to buy all the materials at different hardware stores because they can trace the receipts.
Oh, right? I didn't.
If you've ever watched Columbo.
Oh, God. Yeah,
One last thing. You got a receipt from a hardware store.
So generic. Just generically American.
I do impressions of your American Columbo. Like, you know how all Americans sound the same.
Anyway, I am super freaked out because my brother, I'm never usually jealous of my brother.
Yeah.
Mike. Mm. And
about that, but anyways, go ahead.
I'm actually pretty jealous
of
Mike. And I'll tell you why I'm jealous of Mike. Because he's more successful than me. No. The reason is, if you're just joining us, it's Naked Confessions.
Mm-hmm.
Mike, you got to not only appear with Python, like you got to, well, A, you got to hug them.
Mm.
You got to be in the same room, but you got to be like the last man on stage at the O2 Arena for the last Monty Python show ever.
Yes. I heard about this Python show months ago. You know, I got tickets, and then I got a call like a couple days before and said, would you, Mike, like to appear on the show? It's the most amazing experience in my life. I can't even believe it.
And so they said Mike so that you'd know that the offer was for you, right?
Yes.
Would you, Mike?
Yeah. No, it was a computer-generated invitation. Would you?
Mike. All aboard. You've been selected.
That's right. And if you want to appear with Python, hit
the pound sign.
So you get to London.
Yes.
Tell me about that.
So I got to London, and I took a boat to the O2 because everyone was saying the traffic is terrible. O2 is the arena in London.
Yes, it's on the south side of the Thames, isn't it?
Correct. Yeah. And near
the Lower East Side.
I think it's called the Isle of Dogs. I'm not sure, but it's far.
I love dogs too, Mike.
Yeah, I'm just saying I love dogs. That's all I'm saying. The long and the short of it is I love dogs. So I went on a boat to it, arrived, went to the thing, and they came out on stage and heard the music. It's just all unbelievable. I mean, I was just saying to you earlier.
You were?
Yes, that they are the Mac Daddy of everything. We all kind of wish, you know?
Let's say a little bit of a Python song that we both love, is the Money Song.
I've got 90,000 pounds in my pajamas. I've got 40,000 French francs in my fridge. I've got lots of lovely lira, now the Deutsche Mark's getting dearer, and my dollar bills would buy the Brooklyn Bridge. There is nothing quite as wonderful as money. There is nothing quite as beautiful as cash. Some people say it's folly, but I'd rather have the lolly. With money you can make a splash. There is nothing quite as wonderful as money.
Money, money, money.
There is nothing like a newly minted pound.
Money, 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 money.
Everyone must hanker for the butchness of a banker. It's accountancy that makes the world go round. You can keep your Marxist ways, but it's only just a phase. For it's money, money, money makes the world go round.
The Money Song, Monty Python, and that's so amazing. So how did we get into Python? I feel like it was Dad, right?
It was our dad who was a big Goon Show fan, and we talk about the Goons all the time.
Dad being British, if you heard in the first segment, our dad is from Liverpool, England, and all things British were in our house all the time.
Well, there's nobody more English than an Englishman who no longer lives in England. Our house was almost like a cultural embassy.
That's right.
So he would tell us about Peter Sellers and the Goons, and then we saw on PBS on Buffalo that there was this show called Monty Python.
Yeah, it was also rebroadcast later on CBC, the local Canadian channel.
Channel, right? Yeah.
But like, the PBS was probably the first place we saw
yeah.
it. And,
so, I ripped on Buffalo before. My dad saying,
Buffalo was a cultural gateway for you.
Yes. No,
Buffalo
it is
a gateway drug, by the way. Just mm-hmm. So Dad would be laughing uproariously, and the show was on at like 10 o'clock at night, I think, or 11.
11.
And so we'd be sent to our rooms to go to bed, but, you know, we'd hear Dad
hungry.
Laughing.
Hungry, by the way.
Sent to our rooms hungry, because Dad would, you know, that's a longer story.
Yeah.
But you learned a lot about binder twine there. But seriously, Dad would be laughing uproariously, and eventually we'd be peeking around the corner, because we lived in an apartment building, and there'd this hallway, and we'd be looking around, and we'd hear Dad laughing, and you see that. I remember the blue glow of the TV on the wall. Mm. Like, I remember seeing the blue glow of the TV thinking, wow, Dad's watching something, and it's like he's really in a good mood, so maybe we should just break our curfew and come out. And, like, so we're standing there, and he goes, oh, have a seat anyway. It's, like, really funny.
Mm.
And, of course, we didn't understand half of it. And
right.
Actually, we were talking to John Schaefer, who is not here, but we were talking to him earlier.
Because we're filling in for him.
Yeah, because we're filling in for John Schaefer.
He's gone AWOL.
He's gone AWOL.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird how he just snapped.
It is very weird. And I had my coffee this morning, and I saw his picture on the side of a milk carton.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I thought, oh, the show's today.
Well, we wish him well, and we hope he's wherever he is.
I hope NPR meets the demands.
It's kind of a Chappelle thing with him, isn't it?
Yeah, like, it's crazy.
It just got to be too much.
Yeah.
Sound check, just too much pressure.
Uh-huh.
And, but anyway, his loss is our gain, and here we are.
Mm-hmm.
And so Dad used to like, listen to watch Python, and we didn't get the reference. One of the things that John Schaefer said to me, I call him Schaefer now.
Yeah.
One of the things he said to me was that, you know.
Schaefer. Yeah.
One of the things we learned was words that we didn't know and terms and ideas. Like, Python would teach us. So my dad kind of, like, didn't know them either half of the time, because a lot of them were, like, BBC broadcasters that
since he had
because
they went to Canada in 1956 and they were all post 1956 references.
Dad, who's Reginald Bosanquet? Like,
right.
We don't know. You know, like, and he knew who Clodagh Rogers was. I remember that was like a thing.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
like, Clodagh Rogers. Okay, so one of the things I remember also was the lupins.
Yes,
and I didn't know what a lupin was. I mean, Dad was kind of like Wikipedia to us at that point, you know. I mean, early Wikipedia.
Wikipedia.
Hey, Waka.
A Wikipedia-like.
So I just want to, like, recap and say, seriously, it's my hat's off to you, and our late father's spirit was
hat.
There was there in the O2 Arena with you.
Oh, yeah, most definitely.
Seriously. And let's remind everyone what they're listening to right now.
WNYC, soundcheck with Paul and Mike Myers.
With Paul and Mike Byers.
It was a great sketch. When I first got on the show on Saturday Night Live, there was a great sketch called Somebody's Demon. And they were demons. But the demons were not like super bad demons. So it'd be like, yeah, something wrong. My heating bill's so big. And these demons would go, weather's stripping. You know what I mean?
Is that a Jack Handy sketch?
It might have been.
Because Jack Handy, if you don't know, if you know comedy, all the comedy nerds and comedy writers that I know, like, they bow to Jack Handy. And you got to work with him on SNL.
Yeah, fantastic.
Again, another thing that my hat is off to you is that you not only got to work on SNL, and which is great, and he did great work, and my hat's off for that, but you got to be there at a very interesting time. You worked with Phil Hartman.
Fantastic.
You worked with Jack Handy.
Jack Handy, somebody asked me recently who I thought the funniest person I'd ever met was, and I said John Lovitz.
And John Lovitz, yeah.
Just naturally funny.
Yeah, like, yeah.
Just a naturally funny person.
I don't know if we can tell that story.
No, we can't.
We really can't. There's some great John Lovitz stories out there, mm-hmm. and he's funny on film and on TV,
yeah.
but the stuff that he said in private.
Dude, he's just funny.
He's a great
Dana Carvey
guest.
Is the same way, by the way.
Dana Carvey is
just fantastic on stage, fantastic at a dinner, fantastic in the back of a car when we went on tour.
Yeah.
Dana's
also really super inventive, like in the room, like because he's got that improv thing,
and he's a
and
big
mimic.
Beatles fan as well.
Oh, but exactly.
So one time I was on tour with Dana, and he did this whole thing. I remember one time.
Riffing on McCartney.
Yeah, yeah, and it would be these horribly like foul, dirty stories of what the Beatles got up to, and so we went like in five different cities, and by the sixth city. I would be in hysterics. All he had to say was, I remember one time.
I knew there was a great story coming up. He said, yeah, I used to do this thing where we used to blow up a bank, you know, just to see what the police would do.
It doesn't matter, you know. Doesn't matter.
That brings me to something I totally wanted to make sure I brought up on the air here, which is one of my greatest moments was through you.
Yes.
I got to go.
It was a great moment for me, too, at Saturday Night Live. So Paul McCartney came down. He was a musical guest.
And, like, so our father had passed away. This was 93, I think. So our father passed away the year before. Or
91, November 91.
So it might have been the year before.
Yeah.
And so McCartney's from Liverpool. And this is where it gets, again, really serious because the late Linda McCartney was alive then,
fantastic
too.
Lady.
So Paul and Linda, you'd been working with them during the week, and they'd talked to you about Dad.
Well, they were talking to me. I was like Fred Flintstone when he goes on TV, and it's just like a little squiggle and squeak Samskin. I didn't know what to say. He said to me, I understand your dad passed away. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
And then you came.
The story you're talking about is afterwards I shook his hand and he leaned into me. The first time I'm ever meeting Paul McCartney, and frankly, it was the last time. I'll maybe meet him again someday, but he leaned into me and goes, hey, sorry about your father, mate. Sorry about your father. I heard about your father.
You can't believe it.
And then he turns to Linda McCartney and he goes, hey, this is Paul, you know, this is Mike's brother. And I lean in to kiss her. And because it's one of those kissy, like, you know, celebrity kiss hug things. And I lean in and Linda, we don't time it right. So we end up kissing on the lips.
Fantastic.
And she's a vegetarian.
Right.
You know? So it was one of those things.
You're listening to Tangent Radio. You've been listening to Missed the Point.
Hey, let's just remind, it was because that was a kind of a hard day's night for me.
What?
Yeah, let's just remind everybody who Paul McCartney was.
It's been a hard day's night, and I've been working like a dog. It's been a hard day's night, I should be sleeping like a log. But when I get home to you, I find the things that you do will make me feel
all right. Oh, man.
Pure excitement. Wheels are pure excitement.
If they could bottle that thing. You know,
yeah.
Like, it's like, seriously, that first chord of A Hard Day's Night, dude. Quang!
Crazy.
So takes you where you are, you know? I just want to add that meeting with Paul McCartney at SNL with Mike. So I'm shaking Paul McCartney's hand, the famous Paul McCartney's hand, and I notice that he has calluses on his hand, like musician calluses, right? Being me, I couldn't help but not say, oh my God, I'm shaking Beatle calluses. Like,
and did you say that?
Yeah,
to him?
Yeah. I said I'm shaking Beatle calluses, and he goes, yeah, yeah. So you get that too, right? It's like all of a sudden we're relating as musicians, and I said I actually was aware that I was kind of having an out of body experience, but also kind of aware that that's his. He's the Pope of Beatledom.
Mm.
Like he's the Pope of pop, but he's the Pope of Beatledom. But so I'm shaking his hand, and he says, I say to him, "You'll have to forgive me. I'm probably having that glazed over expression of somebody meeting his maker, right?" I said, "You only wrote all the hooks that were the basis for everything that I've ever written," right? And he goes, "It's okay. I know the look." And like, you know, that might have sounded like a conceited comment.
No, it's somebody knowing the gig. It's somebody being gracious, actually.
And you knew in the moment that he meant it in the best way. You knew in the moment. Like,
no,
it was
he's
like,
fantastic with people.
So I know I'm meeting a Beatle. You're meeting a Beatle. I understand. Like, you know, like it was
no,
like,
but,
yeah.
But it would be crap to not do that.
Let's just tell the audience about, like, so we, you know, it's, I'm on the studio floor at AH, and you guys know what that means because everyone knows SNL stories now, but the swivel chair is down on the front in front of what they call home base, right?
Right.
And the musical act is off to the left on a little stage there. And everyone's seen SNL. They know how that works. So McCartney's there, and he's got a grand piano, like probably a 9-foot Steinway black piano. And I'm there, and remember the ending song was Hey Jude, remember?
Yes.
And you walked out onto AH, and you were standing beside me, and we were both tearing up.
No, and we went and sat on the Toons is the cat.
Yeah.
car. The hood of the Toons is the cat car.
Well, I stayed in my seat because I was being I was being stage managed to stay in my seat. But you got to walk around, so you sat down. And who was there beside you?
Bill Murray and his brother.
And also, I think Sting was there.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken, I think Bon Jovi was there.
Yeah.
It was weird. You look around, and it's like everybody, and they're all weeping.
Yeah.
They're all weeping uncontrollably, and they're all having the same moment.
Because it's just the Hey Jude is like...
Yeah. In two words, he can slay an audience.
Hey Jude, don't make it bad. Take a sad song and make it better. Remember to let her into your heart. Then you can start to make it.
The next day,
we went to Central Park.
Central Park.
Yeah, yeah. And we in a very fine Liverpool and Canadian tradition, we got
In those days, my drinking days.
Yes.
But so we were like, well, we had a little bit of a wake.
It was better when you were drinking, by the way. Frankly, PSA. I want to take this time to do a
public service.
I want to do a reverse intervention.
Drinking,
right now.
It's more fun than you think.
Yes.
Please, teen drinking is encouraged.
Yeah. No, it isn't.
It is not.
It is not.
It is not.
It is not. Yes.
So we wanted to have a little bit of. We had kind of a wake. We had a bit of a wake for John Lennon.
Yes.
Because as beautiful as it was to have Paul McCartney there, we were aware that we were in New York City and John Lennon. So we went to Strawberry Fields in Central Park where they had the Imagine tiles in the square. And
we were completely preoccupied in our own, can you believe this happened?
Kind of debriefing. We wanted to debrief before the soul of John.
Yeah. And then we walked into the Imagine Circle. Right at that time, Bill Murray and his brother.
That was a beautiful moment. And it was also kind of neat, the touchstone. Like, you were on SNL. Much like the Python story. There's this theme line.
Python and the Beatles. I mean, this is what it is to grow up in an English house in Canada. You know what I mean? And that's what's so fantastic. Like, the opportunity to do this and all the stuff that we've been doing lately, which has been fun, is just, you know, in the... End is in the beginning. I don't know if it's the end, but
it's funny you should say that because in the next segment, which is our last segment, we're gonna go from the past that we've been talking about all day, and we're gonna just talk a little bit about where we're at now. You're listening to WNYC Soundcheck from New York City. I'm Paul Myers.
I'm Mike Myers.
We'll be right back.
WNYC Soundcheck with Paul and Mike Myers.
So I want to talk about now.
Let's talk about our relationship. Let's talk about the future.
I think we're ready to get serious.
Okay. Yeah.
What are you up to,
Paul Myers?
Oh, well, what am I up to? Well, I just released that record, which,
Inner Sunset.
Inner Sunset. It's the Paul and John record. And that was 4 years in the making.
Mm.
And what was really exciting about doing that record was I've sort of become a journalist in the last few years. I've written a book. I wrote a book about Todd Rundgren called, I'm just going to say the name, not plugging it so much. It ain't.
No, and it's not a plug. No. It's not a plug. None of this is a plug.
A Wizard, a True Star.
Yes.
Todd Rundgren in the studio. And it was kind of a book about all the. And while I was doing that book, I learned a lot of techniques that Todd Rundgren had used. So I found myself, when I was making this record again, it was like me and John Moorman, we all brought our own ideas in. But a lot of my ideas were like, well, you know what Todd would have done? Here's what Todd would do with vocals. And I felt like I had been sort of trained at the hem of the master, you know, like. So that was kind of cool. And I'm working on some music journalism stuff. I'm going to be writing some pieces for a few magazines. I can't really go into it right now.
Right.
But I'm also I'm on Instagram with the Pull My Ears, all one word, with one L, is my Instagram handle.
Can I just say once again how much I love your photographs?
Well, thank you.
I'm not even kidding. You've always been...
Well, you know, it's so funny. The iPhone, not to plug a specific brand of smartphone, but the smartphone has opened me up into quick digital photography to a point where now I'm getting deeper into how to frame them and how to, like, sort of do a little bit, just a little bit of post. You know, not so much filtering as sort of cropping and stuff. And I was just in a group show in Petaluma of photographs taken on smartphones.
Mm.
And it was kind of exciting to think, oh, wait a minute, now this is another art form. Mm. Like, there's another art form for me.
Another smart form.
Oh.
Come on now.
Knife box.
Get in, too sharp to live.
And so you just did the Superman.
Superman, a documentary on Shep Gordon, who was Alice Cooper's manager. I met Shep Gordon on the set of Wayne's World in 1992. And we've been friends forever. I've been asking for 20 years to let me do a documentary on him. He finally did. And
also you're raising two children.
Yes.
With your wife, Kelly.
With my wife, Kelly, indeed.
Your lovely wife, Kelly.
Thank you. I always feel when people say lovely wife, Kelly, it's damning with faint praise.
You're a handsome wife,
Kelly. Yes, she's handsome. No,
no.
She's very beautiful.
We love Kelly. We love Kelly.
Yes, of course.
My
two kids, Sunday and Spike.
I just want... I, I just want to play this song, and I can't find a segue into it. So I'm just going to say, let's just have a couple of minutes of the jam start, because we're about to start the next part of our life.
It's not important for you to know my name, nor I to know yours. If we communicate for 2 minutes only, it will be enough. Knowing someone in this world feels as desperate as me, and what you give is what you get. It doesn't matter if we never meet again. What we have said will always remain. If we get through for 2 minutes only, it will be a start. But knowing that someone in this life loves with a passion called hate, and what you give is what you get.
This is Soundcheck from WNYC. That's my brother Mike Myers.
And that's my brother Paul Myers.
And we're filling in today for John Schaefer. He's actually on vacation. We've been lying about all those other CIA cover things. That's right, it's lying, right? That's
what it totally
says.
Lying.
It says you were supposed to say we were lying.
There is no CIA. Come on.
That's crazy that's right. Talk. One of the things I want to say was I couldn't remember why we chose this song, and now I realize it was because it thematically ties in everything we've talked about all day. So the song Start by the Jam has a bass line that's like the Beatles. It's like Taxman, which is George Harrison and all these things. And also, it's talking about the start, the future, the start, the past. Also, we grew up in the 70s in Toronto. There was the Jam where
I was a neo-mod for... And I even had like a really fake, horrible British accent. It's like,
and even your Ming T in Austin Powers had a kind of a jam influence. It was
very much
very,
so. Yeah.
You know,
if I was to be in a band, it would have sounded very much like the Jam. I would have hoped to have it sound like.
And
the Jam.
I have prematurely white hair like Paul Weller.
Does he have prematurely white hair?
Oh yeah, all the way.
Is he a silver fox?
He's handsome like me. He's totally stylish and cool.
Modest.
And he's the modest.
Whoa!
He's the king of the mods.
How about that?
So we're. I think we should just leave the show there for the day.
Say goodnight to everybody.
But one,
right?
I want to thank John Schaefer and WNYC for having us. And let's go out.
Yes,
now.
Thank you very much. This was fun, dude.
This was totally.
We should do more.
Should do this again. So, John, take another vacation.
Yeah, dude. Would you?
And this is
take a break. Driver 8.
This is Inner Sunset by the Paul and John. And thank you very much.
Thank you.
Let's show.
Soundcheck is a production of WNYC.
Our producers are Katie Bishop and Dan O'Donnell.
Mike Katzeff is our digital producer.
Irene Trudell is our technical director, and our engineer today was Bill Moss.
Joel Meyer is the show's executive producer.
For John Schaefer, I'm Paul Myers.
And I'm Mike Myers.
This is Soundcheck.